Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Epistle of James, the first chapter, and the first 15 verses. James 1, and verses 1 through 15. Let us sing first from Psalter 217, stanzas 1 through 4. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1 through 4 of Psalter 217.
Before we read the portion of God's Word, James chapter 1, we will read the holy law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. James chapter 1, the first 15 verses. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof faileth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his days. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Then when lust had conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Jane Slingerland, who had surgery in this past week and is still in the hospital. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we attempt to draw nigh unto thee, who art most high, who art also holy, who art righteous, and who art just. And we dwell here upon thy footstool, and thou knowest who and what we are, and what lives in the heart of each and every one of us. But we have heard it in these very moments, that he that asketh, let him ask in faith. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea tossed to and fro. O Lord, thou knowest that of ourselves we have not that faith. We have not the ability to exercise that faith. And thou knowest what is shown also unto thy children. How that it is sin from the crown of the head unto the sole of the foot, and how that does make their faith so to waver. But, Lord, thou sayest that it is a free gift, and thou sayest that it is all upon the basis of the work of thine only begotten Son, in whom that thou art well pleased. And that there is nothing from our side that thou canst accept or receive. And therefore it is only upon that promise that thou givest unto thy church, that we may plead even in this morning hour, and in any way to ask it without doubting, and because thou wilt certainly finish the thing that thou hast for them begun. For thou art the Alpha, but thou wilt also uphold it, and thou art the Omega. But so many times they do fear that it is going to be a lost case with them forever. O Lord, wilt thou give in this morning hour a little light upon thy word of truth, and a little courage to go on in that warfare against that triple-headed enemy. For then he is always busy, and then seeking, even as a roaring lion and as an angel of light, to devour whom he may. Oh, that thou may look upon the whole congregation. We are conceived and born in sin, and so we go over this world. And if there is no power from on high experienced in our soul in our lifetime, then so we will pass out of this life, and we will enter into that eternal abyss, which is such our rightful due from thee, who art so righteous and art so just, that thou canst not pass by a single sin. O Lord, grant us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand. There is nothing too hard or too wonderful for thee. And when our hearts are as hard as an adamant stone, and as that nether millstone, so that none can break it, O Lord, thou art able to speak but one word, and we shall be healed. And then a broken spirit is to thee better than all the sacrifices of lambs and of beasts. All could it please thee that such broken hearts and contrite spirits may be born within each and every one of us for the first time or by renewal. O thou who hast all power given unto thee, and who sittest on the right hand of the throne of God, at the right hand of power, and who speaks to send forth thy Holy Spirit, even in the midst of this sin-cursed world, all we beseech thee in this hour, that it may be felt and experienced, that thou art indeed on the right hand of power, and that thou art stronger than the prince of darkness, who holds us in the grasp of that death, that he has brought into this world by his instigation. O Lord, remember us then, young and old together, the children, the young people, who are so often and so easily drawn aside and by all the wiles of the devil, because of all the wretchedness that lives in our hearts. Oh, that thou may put thy wall and thy fence about our children and our youth, that they may see the blessedness of the kingdom of God and of thy true and dear children. Oh, that that holy jealousy may be born in their hearts, that they also may be partakers of thy kingdom, and that they may not go lost forever and forever. Oh, that they may bow their knees in their secret places, that the cry may go out unto the Lord of Sabaoth, and God be merciful unto me, the sinner. Remember the older ones who have been many years under thy word of truth. And sometimes, then, when there is an outward desire, then it can be that there is a despairing, that there shall ever come anything from the Lord. And then there are some, Lord, that are looking, and there are some that are waiting upon thee, even as thou dost say in thy word, wait on the Lord, O Lord. And then they have to say by times, Lord, and then I fear that it shall never be, and that I shall die in this state in which I have been born, and I cannot break my own heart, and I cannot make it upright, and I cannot make it contrite before thee. O God of the heavens and of the earth, we ask of thee that also in this morning hour thine arrows may be shot forth in the hearts of many, that hearts may be pricked, and that there may be joy in heaven in this hour over one sinner that repenteth. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Remember all the afflicted and the sick ones. We remember especially her, that is in the hospital in this day, and thou hast delivered her of a well-born child. Oh, wilt thou look upon her yet in all the afflictions of her body, all that has transpired also in the week that is gone by, and when she had to receive surgery by the hands of the physicians, and thou hast made thus far all things well. Oh, wilt thou also heal her body now and raise her up, that she may do the labors as a wife and as a mother. And oh, that thou may bless also this way of trial in their life together. Remember also our own daughter, who is in that same place to be delivered of a child in these hours. Wilt thou watch over and protect her and child together? And may thou look upon all those that have special needs, also children, for they are also in our midst, that have to experience the needs of the body. Wilt thou supply and wilt thou give healing when that is necessary for them? And may it be that there may be instruction that there may be by these afflictions that patience born, as we have heard it in this hour already, out of thy word of God, that patience that thou speakest of in thy word, that it may be experienced even in the life of these little children, that thy grace may be born in their hearts, and that the trial in the very end shall prove to have been for their eternal welfare. Strengthen parents in the labors of their hands and the bringing up of children. Wilt thou look upon all thy servants, thy servant also in our sister congregation in this community. Thou knowest also a little setback, but thou hast made all things well. Oh, that thou may raise him up again to do the labors of his hands, if it could please thee. And may thou give more servants in thy vineyard when there is old age, when there is weakness. Lord, and thou knowest the need of the ministry. Oh, could it please thee to remember the student? Wilt thou be on his right and on his left and in all that instruct him? But could it please thee also in the season that lies before us to gladden us with thy deeds? Lord, that thou thyself may take care of thy church, because that is not in our hands, but that is in thy hands. And also, even in this morning hour is it in thy hands, when we are called to bring a portion of thy word. Lord, then we stand in need of a little strength once again from above for our weak body. But Lord, may it be also a little of that spirit of thee to be poured out in our soul, that we may be able to bring forth those things that are so necessary to be brought forth and to be known in the midst of this our flock. May thou give us what we need to make it understandable. And wilt thou by thy Spirit penetrate the hearts of each and every one for the first time and by renewal, and all that listen by church telephone. And wilt thou give also what is necessary unto them, and that they also may be able to hear it in this morning and in this day. Lord, be with us. Remember us. It is so undeserved, even as we can read it in thy holy word. But may we be given to feel it in our hearts, and that the least of thy blessings, that is such a great mercy. Lord, take reasons then out of thyself to look upon us and to grant us an undeserved token, that thou still knowest where that we are. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 384, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to thee. We announce, the Lord willing, the Lord's Supper will be administered on Sunday, February the 16th, in the morning service. Thus, next week, Sunday, the Lord willing, is preparatory. The last collection today is for our school. Psalter 384. 1, 2, 4, and 5. Congregation, what an awful, what a pitiful sight that was when the ark that Noah had built began to lift itself up from off the face of this earth. When the cries of the men, of the women, of the children, of young and old, and even the very moans of the beasts of the field, they have ascended up unto heaven. This people, they have for 120 years have listened and they have watched. For 120 years they have heard the preaching of God's servant. For 120 years they have seen that ark in its building, but they have despised it. These same persons, they have despised that ark while it was a day of grace. Oh, why was it that they perished in full sight of that ark of God? That was because, and when it was still a day of grace, then they have seen no need for that ark. They did not understand why that it had to be built. They did not see the evil of sin, and they did not believe that sin has its consequences, even though that Noah has warned them for 120 years. O congregation, how many of us, boys and girls, young people, fathers and mothers, how many of us are one day going to perish in full view of that ark, in full view of that mediator? And how is that possible? That is, when that mediator has been proclaimed unto us by the audible, by the visible gospel, over and over again, most since the day of the days of our youth, that we have heard of that name. But while it is a day of grace, not believing, that is what it is. Not believing that that flood is coming. Not believing how evil, how sinful that sin is. And not believing that sin that has awful, awful consequences. That is why the Lord has spoken to His servant Isaiah to say, "Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show unto my people, do not spare them. Show unto my people their transgressions, and to the house of Jacob their sins." That is, congregation, what we may hope be the leading of the Lord in this morning hour. James 1. James 1, verses 13, 14, and 15, and then especially the last verse, verse 15, are the words of our text. James 1, 13 through 15, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So far, the words of our text. Man, the cause of his own sin and misery. First, sin in its conception. First part of verse 15. Then, when lust hath conceived, thus sin in its conception. Second, sin in its birth. It bringeth forth sin. And last, sin in its end. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Man, the cause of his own sin and misery. First, sin in its conception. Second, sin in its birth. And third, sin in its end. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. How can that be? Because our children, they will say, minister, then I read something else in the Word of God, because I read about Abraham, and we know there it says, and God tempted Abraham. Now, we read in God's Word that let no man say he is tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So how can that be? What is temptation? Temptation, congregation, that is a test. That is a trial. Do you ever think about that, young people? When there is a temptation, that it is a test, that it is a trial. And that word, temptation, that is used actually in two different senses in the Word of God concerning such a test, concerning such a trial. And the first way is actually in a more positive way. And we read that in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. What does that mean? The word temptation there, that means actually an affliction. An affliction, a way of trial in this life that the Lord is leading in the way of afflictions. And therefore, James says that man is blessed. What man is blessed, young people? What man is blessed? What man is happy in the world? You say a man that receives everything that he wants, that it goes just the way that he desires, that is the happy man. And that is false. That is false. That is what we think, but that is not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that that man is blessed that endureth temptation. That is, that may be tried by the Lord, and who may be upheld by the Lord, and who may be brought through that temptation. We read that in verses 2, 3, and 4. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Thus, that is the way in which the word temptation is there being used. However, We commonly use that word in a different way, and so it is also commonly used in the Word of God in a more negative sense. Then we know that Christ, he was tempted of the devil. And it is also Satan who is tempting man. And that is now the sense in which the Word of God is using that word temptation in the words of our text. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. We know that in the way of trials, in the way of afflictions, that the Lord is tempting man, that he is bringing man into those afflictions for his own wise purposes. But when we use that word temptation as it is being used in verse 13, then we read that God is not tempting man to sin. That is impossible. Why? James says, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Thus first, he says, God himself cannot be tempted with evil. What does that mean? That means that there is nothing in God that is drawn unto evil. There is no evil that can overcome him because there is not even an inclination. There is nothing in him which is able even to receive a temptation. You will have now another question in your mind because you say the Lord Jesus Christ, he is God. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil. And that is true. So how is that possible when it says here that God cannot be tempted with evil, and yet we read that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness? In the first place, the Lord Jesus was not overcome. However, we ask the question, was it and how was it even for him a temptation in the first place? Because there is nothing that was in him that would be drawn to do what is wrong, to do what is evil. That is so, and thus that temptation that was not the same as it would have been for you and for me. However, the Lord Jesus was tempted as a man. And we know, for example, that the Lord Jesus, he was tempted to make stones into bread to feed himself at the suggestion of Satan. But the Lord Jesus as a man did right in desiring the continuation of his own life that belongs to the human nature of every person. And thus, in that way, there was a temptation, but never to do what is evil. When Satan laid before Christ all the kingdoms of the world, then it was right in Christ to desire all the kingdoms of the world as his own kingdom, but never, of course, to fall down before the prince of darkness. And thus, we see that there was temptation in the temptation of the devil, and yet, consistent with the word of God, God cannot be tempted with evil. Secondly, we read, neither tempteth he any man. Thus, God desires not evil. He desires not that any man in this whole world would do evil, and therefore he does not tempt man to do evil. That is impossible. It is just the opposite. The Lord, He desires, and He has made you and me in His own image. And the Lord desires that man would be in His image. That was the reason that He has decreed to send forth His only begotten Son. Thus, it is not only in the creation, but also in the way of redemption that the Lord, He shows His will that man should not walk in the way of sin, but that man should walk in the way of holiness. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Why does James say this? James says this, congregation, because that is you. And that is me. Because you and I, we are so quickly ready to shift our guilt to someone else. That is now what is living in our sinful hearts. It comes from where? That comes from Adam. How? Not as our covenant head. No, because as our covenant head, we receive guilt from him. But it comes from Adam as our father, as our first father. And thus, as our father, then he has passed on to us, not guilt, because fathers do not pass on guilt to their children. But fathers do pass on pollution to their children. And thus, who can bring forth a clean thing out of an unclean? And so what Adam was in his fall, so you and I are. And what has Adam done? Adam, in his guilt, he pointed away from himself. And Adam said to the Lord, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. And that is what we see from Adam unto today. And that is what we see that is living in our own hearts. And so when we go into that wilderness and we see that golden calf and the wrath of Moses, and then we see an Aaron, and then he is putting off that guilt unto the people. This is what they have desired. They have forced me to do this. So we see King Saul. So he is bringing behind him all the cattle. And then Samuel is asking him why. And he says the people have spared them. They spared the best of the sheep and of the cattle, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. So we see a pilot. Then he is washing his hands in supposed innocency and passing on his guilt, supposedly, unto these people. Or when it can be another man. But congregation, not only another man, but we are so miserable and we are such liars, that we are ready to pass this on, this guilt, unto God Himself. Oh, then we will blame it on the circumstances that we have come into. We will blame it on the very providence of God. We will blame it even, congregation, on the decree of God that He has elected and that He has rejected. And that is why I am the way I am. And that is why I remain in that state in which that I am. How is it? Or does our own conscience also testify against us in this morning hour? That so we are doing, you and me. And what does James say? He says, let no man say this. Let no man say it. And why may we not say it? We may not say it, he says, because in the first place it is blasphemy. It is blasphemy, as if God has brought forth evil, as if God is responsible for our sin. Not only does he say, let no man say it, because it is blasphemous, but let no man say it because it is vain, because it will do you no good. Oh, Saul can say it. The people have spared the best of the sheep and of the cattle, but the kingdom that was taken away from Saul. Aaron can blame it on the people, but Aaron is rebuked by Moses. Pilate can wash his hands in innocency, but he cannot remove the stains. His hands, they are dripping with the innocent blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Thus, now James says where the true cause is. The true cause of sin, James says, it is in us. He says it is in every man. He says it is in his lust. What is that? What is that, young people? Lust. You say that is a very strong sexual desire. That is true. The Lord Jesus, he says, whoso looketh upon a woman to lust after her, he has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And yet that word, that has also a more general meaning. And it is used very often in a much more general sense. That is not only for such desires, but for other very strong desires, sensual desires that are living in our hearts. What do we read about the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness? And that they lusted. They lusted for what? That they lusted for meat. What was it? That was an evil desire. An evil desire for meat, an evil desire for food that the Lord did not give unto them. When the Lord had given unto them food from heaven, bread from heaven, when they have received from heaven, we read in the Word of God, angels' food. But they have lusted. They had a strong sensual desire that they may have something else. What do we read in the Word of God? We read about the lust of the flesh. We read about the lust of the eyes. They are the vain desires for carnal things, for sensual things. And Paul, he said, I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Unless the law had said, thou shalt not covet, he would have not, had not known what lust is. Thus, lust that is covetousness. Covetousness. O congregation, that is the law of God from the beginning to the end concerning what is living in our heart. Covetousness. Thus there is living in us a fountain of evil, of sensual desires, affections, lust. For what? For the kingdom of God? Let your own heart testify. It is not for the kingdom of God, but it is lusting after everything that is in this world. That is the inclination, that is the bent of our hearts by nature, from Adam, the corruption of our nature. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So there are two things we read that lust does. It draws away and it entices. That is what it is to be, he says, tempted. So every man is tempted when he is drawn away. What does that mean? To draw away. Boys, maybe your father has brought you one time fishing or hunting, and then he has a lure, that is what we use for the fish or for the other animals. And that is now what this word means, to be drawn away, that it means to lure. To lure when they are on a safe path, when they are on a right path, to lure them off of that right path. Now, what does the Bible say? It says that man, every man, he is drawn away or he is lured of his own lust. Thus, it is not the object that draws him away. There is nothing in that object. Had there been no lust in our heart, there had been no drawing away. The object does not draw away. It is, the Bible says, the lust that is in our heart that is drawing away. Bathsheba may have had her own sin, but it was not Bathsheba who drew away David. No, the Bible says the lust that was living in the heart of David, that is what was responsible for drawing him away. Judas had a bag. He loved money. There was nothing wrong with that money. What was it? It was the lust. It was the lust that was living in that heart of Judas that drew him away. Meat is not evil. That meat, those quails that were desired in the wilderness, they were not evil. Neither is there anything evil about eating that meat. But that lust. That lust, because what did that lust do? That drew them away from what path? It was from the path of right. It was from the path of contentment with the things that the Lord had given unto them. And then it was not that meat that drew them away. No, it was the lust that was living in their heart that drew them away from that right path of contentment. So that is the first thing that lust does. It draws us away from going, continuing on that right path. Second, he says, and enticed. Do you know what that word means, children? Enticed? You must think now about a fish. And that fish, then he is swimming in that school of fish. And then all of a sudden, he sees something over here. He sees that lure. And what is it in that fish? That is hunger. It's not a lure. It is the hunger, because if there was no hunger, he would stay with that school of fish. But there is hunger. And now he is drawn away. And once he is drawn away, what does he do? Then that same hunger, then that same lust that is snatching that bait. And that now is the meaning of the second word. Drawn away and enticed. Enticed. That means to catch by that bait. And that happens once that soul is drawn away from that right path. Thus he says it is lust that is drawing from that right path, and then it is that lust that is the cause of the snatching of that bait. Lust and nothing else. And thus our text speaks about the conception of lust. It says, when lust hath conceived. Thus we have a picture of the birth, but first the conception of a child. Where does that take place? In the womb. In the womb. Thus, we cannot see anything yet. That deed of sin that is not performed. There are none around us that know yet anything, because there is only a conception of it in the womb of our heart. When lust hath conceived, thus lust that is the corrupt nature, and the conceiving of lust that is the first actings of that corrupt nature, the first actings within our heart of that inclination, of that bent, that evil bent of our heart. It is not the presentation of the object. There is nothing wrong in that object. It is not the seeing of that object with our eyes. The seeing of that object with our eyes that is not in itself sin. What is it? It is the delight. It is the delight. That first thought, when that forbidden object is seen, and suddenly there is a delight in the thought of evil. In the thought of evil. There is no decision yet. There is not even a motive yet. There is just the first acting of that wicked dispensation of our heart. And there lust conceives. The moment that our heart perceives that forbidden object with the least degree of pleasure, there already sin is conceived. It is congregation, the beginning, the conception, the beginning of sin in the pleasure of that evil disposition of our heart, and in perceiving something that is sinful to actually be desirable. And when lust hath conceived, we say it is the beginning of sin. The Roman Catholic Church says, no, it is not the beginning of sin. They say, that is not sin. But we want to see that in our second thought, sin in its birth. But let us sing first Psalter 140. 140, 1, 3, and 4. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh, cleanse me from my sin. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 140. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. What does that mean, to bring forth sin? That is speaking here about the act of sin. The act of sin. That is, even as as the bringing forth of a conceived child. Congregation, what precedes, what comes before the act of sin? Much. We all know that. There is much that comes before the act of sin. Our consciences, they will all testify to that. What happens before that act? Well, what happens, congregation, after conception in the womb? Then there is growth. For 9 months, then there is growth. Before that child that is brought forth, is that child dead? No, that child is alive. In the womb, mother can feel that because it is moving, and she feels that there is life. And when that sin is conceived, that lust has conceived, then we also feel that. It is not dead. Oh, it is very much alive. No one else knows, maybe, that it is alive, but it is living. And what is happening? When that lust has conceived, then there is the development of what we call a motive. A motive. What is a motive? That is not difficult. That is simply the reason for which we do something. And every act that we do that has a motive. There is a reason that we are doing it. Why do you do things, boys and girls? Why do you do things? There are two things that affect our motive. Why do you do things? Maybe you have one time, young people, done something very, very foolish. And your mother has said to you now, why? Why would you do something like this? Then you had to ask yourself. And then you perhaps said, yeah. Well, I guess I just was not thinking. Thinking. Thinking is one thing that influences our motive. But if you were not thinking, there's still a reason you did it. You did it not because of judgment. You did it because of feeling. You felt like it. Thus, there are two things that are affecting our motives, why we do things. They are our feelings, and they are our thoughts. What do you think comes first? First are our feelings. Paul even speaks about the will of the mind. Thus, first come the feelings. There is a desire for something in general. When there is that desire, then come our thoughts and our rationalizing, and our conscience begins to speak. And it says, perhaps no, or perhaps yes. It is according to the law. It is not according to the law. Then our mind that is making a judgment. Maybe we make an excuse for ourselves. Why? Those feelings, those feelings, that desire. And that is finally coming into a motive, a reason that we're going to do it, that turns into our will. And finally, it turns into our deed. That is, bring forth sin. Thus, two things, the thoughts and the feelings. What do you think are stronger? Oh, it is the feelings. Ever since the fall, and we are ready to consult our feelings. We are ready to consult our desires. And most of our actions, most of our doing, that comes from our desires. What do we do with our conscience? Step on it. And that is stronger than all the reasonings that are coming against those sinful desires. Thus, congregation, how important are our desires? How important is the disposition of our heart? Why? Because our actions, they are largely flowing from our desires. But what does God's word now say about our desires? What does God's word say about the disposition of our heart? We heard it. What is it? It is lust. Or is it any wonder that the Lord, he looked down from heaven and he had to say concerning the sons of men that there is none that doeth good. None that doeth good. None whose actions are good. How can we do good when our actions, they are flowing out of our desires, and our desires, they are nothing but lust? Does James not say, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin? Is it any wonder that Isaiah says, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, he says, there is no soundness in it. It is wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Jeremiah says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? So may ye also do good who are accustomed to evil. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That is our last thought. Sin in its end. What congregation is the end? What is the finishing of sin? According to the Word of God, death. Paul says the wages of sin is death. That is the experience of mankind from the first man even to the last man, bringeth forth death. What kind of death? Spiritual death? Do you ever feel it? Do you ever feel it? Do you ever grieve over it? Natural death? Do you fear it? Eternal death. Oh, congregation, how destructive. How awfully destructive is sin. That it has ruined everything. Our relation with our own Maker. Do we ever grieve over sin? Are we also in the warfare against sin? to the Lord Jesus, teach his disciples to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is that also our prayer? Young people, when you leave your home in the morning, or do you think that you are able to keep yourself from sin? Oh, how many sins are conceived in the womb of our hearts that we do not even think about, that delight. Rome says, no, that is not sin. Rome says, it is not sin until the deed, no, until the decision, until there is an assent, until there is a motive, and it becomes part of our will, then it becomes our sin. No, it becomes sin congregation in the conception of the lust. Or if God would open our eyes, then we would say, every one of us with David, that I am conceived and I am born in sin. Congregation, how is it with the places of temptation in this world, young people? The places of temptation in this world, do you flee them? Because there will be the objects, and those objects will not draw you. But the lust you carry with you in your heart, you could go, if that lust was not there, you could go if you had not such a sinful will, inclination even of your nature, not such a sinful bent, then you could go. But Solomon says we cannot go. He says avoid it. He says pass by it. He says turn away from it. He says pass away, that those objects would not be there before our wretched and sinful heart. Oh, do you have parents? Do you have a filter on your internet? Young people, what are you looking at? The Lord knows. The Lord knows. And you know. Maybe no one else knows. But I warn you in this day. It is the word of God. Sin, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That is where it's going. Oh, do you grieve? Do you grieve because of that sinful inclination even of your heart? And when that pleasure, that little pleasure in the thought arises immediately, is that a grief to you? Or do you go then upon your knees and say, Lord, there is a child born in my heart. There is a sin that is conceived in my heart. Oh God, wilt thou kill that child? That is the only lawful abortion. You may desire it. Do you seek it? Do you seek it? That that child of sin may be slain by the Lord in your heart. That you may stamp out that fire before that it burns down your whole building. That your judgment, that the law of God, that your conscience may win out by the power of the Lord to keep you over that strong, sensual, evil desire that lives in your nature. That that desire may not turn into a motive, and that that motive would not turn into a deed. Congregation, 120 years. Noah has preached. He preached, he said, there is a flood coming. Why was it coming? It is coming because of sin. This is the consequence of sin. And then he set the ark. He set that ark before that people. That they may see the need for it. That they may see preciousness in that ark. Over against their sin. Oh, how necessary and how precious is the blessed mediator for a people whose heart that contains nothing but lust. Oh, how precious to a people who are from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, sin. Because he came to put away sin. To put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. To put away the guilt of sin. Justify his church and to give them a right, though they are a sinful and a wretched people, to enter again into that blessed communion with God. Oh, he came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, not only to give a right to life, but also to give an entrance into that life. That is the way of sanctification. That is the way of putting away of sin. That is the desire of that newborn soul. But it is in the way of warfare. Therefore the Lord says to his people, walk after the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You say, people of the Lord, I cannot do it. Oh, my wretched, my sinful heart. Paul couldn't do it either. He said, the good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. Oh, is it possible yet? It is possible. Why? Because, he says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, that is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, then that warfare that is done. And there shall enter in there nothing that defileth, or that worketh abomination, or that maketh a lie. Then sin is done. Sin in the deed, sin in its conception, and also the consequences done, that they may receive from him freely, without money and without price, undeservedly, though they have a heart that is nothing but lust, eternal life, without money, without price. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest all our hearts, and thou openest it also in thy word. Wilt thou open them unto us, for we need to come to know ourselves, that we also may see the need for thy only begotten Son. O Lord, make us to leave this place, loathing ourselves for the wretchedness and for the misery and for the lust that is living within our hearts, that there may be a cry that rises up into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth before that flood comes and that door of the ark is eternal shut. Bring us safely to our places, and with desire in thy house in this afternoon hour, help in the way of the fulfillment of thy offices, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 419, 2 and 3. A mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day. But thou, O God, in great compassion, will purge my guilt away. 2 and 3 of Psalter 419. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.